kit to the twin carried by the leader of the Eshin forces. Now would be the time for a mighty feat of sorcery, one that would grant the Skaven swift and inevitable victory. In order to perform it, Thankwell knew he would need vast amounts of power. And therein lay the danger. In order to acquire enough mystical energy to power the spells that he needed to perform, Thankwell would have to consume an enormous amount of warpstone, and that had its dangers. This was not the mild, refined stuff which made up his snuff. No. This was the pure product, the very essence of magic, concentrated and purified by Skaven alchemists. It was a substance capable of providing its user with awesome power, but its use carried equally awesome dangers. Many Grey Seers had been driven over the edge into madness by the corrosive effects of the substance on their sanity. Others had been reduced to mindless chaos spawn by its mutating effects. Taken in large enough doses by those of insufficiently strong will, warpstone could devolve its user into a formless, amorphous thing. But what was that to him, mightiest of Grey Seers? Thankwell was a practiced user of warpstone, was capable of consuming it in gigantic quantities without ill effect. The things that happened to all those others could not happen to him. Definitely. Positively not. For a moment, brief niggling doubt flared in Thankwell's mind. What if there was something wrong with the warpstone? What if it were not pure, but contaminated with other stuff? Such things had happened. What if Thankwell were not as strong as he believed? Mistakes in dosage were always possible. But only for a second did the Grey Seer hesitate, before his natural confidence in his own mighty abilities returned. He was not one to flinch from the dangers of warpstone. In fact, he admitted to himself, he rather enjoyed it. He reminded himself of this as he reached into his pouch and put the first luminous piece of warpstone onto his tongue. It tingled even as he consumed it. Now memories of his long-gone youth came back to him. He recalled his initiation into the use of warpstone. No, thought Thankwell, there was nothing to fear here. So thinking, he began preparing himself, making himself ready for when the correct time came to cast the spell which would grant his forces victory. Ahead, Felix could see the lights of the Blind Pig. A wave of relief passed through him. If the tavern did not quite represent safety, at least it had to be better than this nightmare chase through the darkened streets with a horde of shrieking ratmen on his trail. He could see Boris and Stefan and a host of their companions standing in the street, shielding their eyes as they studied the distant fires. "Beware! Skaven!" Felix shouted, and saw them all reach for their weapons. In moments, swords glittered in the half-light of the burning city. From inside the tavern, a number of armoured figures spilled out into the gloom. Felix was relieved to see the massive squat figure of Gotrek among them. There was something enormously reassuring under these circumstances about the massive axe clutched in his hands. Felix raced up to the warriors as they braced themselves for the Skaven attack. Behind him, the Skaven, unwilling or unable to give up the heady rush of the chase, came on like an avalanche of fur and fury. Felix made his way through the throng to stand beside Gotrek. The slayer had the usual look of mad joy in his one good eye that he always got before combat.
"I see you found us, scuttling little friends, Manling," he said,
running his thumb along the blade of his axe until a bright red bead of blood appeared.
"Yes,"
Felix gasped, struggling to get his breath back before the combat began.
"Good. Let's get killing, then."
Dr. Drexler looked around him. Something was very wrong. Many of the warriors had gone to the battlements to look at the fires and not come back. Ostwald had already herded the women back into the ballroom. Messengers had been rushing to and fro between Ostwald, Countess Emmanuel, and those outside. Something was very definitely happening, and he needed to find out what it was. If he had not known better, he would have sworn that Ostwald had ordered the orchestra to play louder to drown out the sounds of the disturbance. That must be it, Drexler thought, knowing that he had guessed the truth. Something was happening, and in order to forestall a panic, Hieronymus was covering it up. He glanced around at the others present and adjusted his mask. Most of the people in the ballroom consisted of ladies of rank, together with a sprinkling of hangers-on, toadies, and those simply too drunk to leave the hall. Of course, there were footmen present, and a few guards too, but the situation was not very reassuring. He glanced across at Ostwald, not wanting to divulge the connection between them, but filled with curiosity about what was going on. The secretary was garbed as a wood-elf warrior, complete with bow. Drexler walked up to him, still nibbling at a savoury.
"What has happened?"
he asked.
"A sound disturbance in the town, Herr Doctor. Arson, and possibly worse. With Her Serenity's permission, I have ordered troops from the barracks to quell the problem."
"Nothing wrong in the palace, then?"
"Not as far as I know, but I have ordered the guards to double-check."
"Let us pray to Sigmar that it is only some looters. Things have been dreadful recently."
"I fear the worst,"
Ostwald said, looking up as another courier approached. Drexler agreed. Somewhere nearby, his sorcerously trained senses told him that powerful magic was gathering. Chang Squick cursed and ducked for cover. The place smelled like a reeking midden. Looking around with his dark, accustomed eyes, he could tell this was, in truth, a human privy. Well, there were worse places to hide, he told himself, but this was not going to help his mission. He knew it was no use. He was not going to make it to the great chamber above the ballroom that he and the Grey Seer had agreed on. All of the stolen maps of the palace he had studied and still carried in his head told him this. He just did not have the time to get there, and even with his supreme skills at sneaking and skulking, he doubted that he could find his way, unseen, through the mass of humans crowding the palace corridors and heading to the battlements in search of a view of what was going on below. This place was just going to have to do. He took the knapsack from his back and reached within. The heat and the glow produced by the seeing stone told him that he was only just in time, perhaps even a little late. He wondered how long the Grey Seer had already spent glaring out into the darkness of the inside of his pack. He shuddered when he thought of the wrath of Thankwall, as he squatted down, pressed his nose to the side of the stone, and gave the thumbs-up sign. Felix ducked the swipe of a jagged scimitar and lashed out with his sword. His blow took the skaven beneath the ribs and cleaved upwards in search of its heart. The skaven gave an eerie, high-pitched shriek, clutched its chest, and died. It fell to the ground even as Felix withdrew his blade from its chest. Felix glanced around at the swirling melee. To his right, he saw Hines dash out the brains of a skaven leader with the kosh he held in his left hand, while he fended off the attack of another skaven with the blade he held in his right. Boris and Stefan fought back to back in the teeth of the tide of ratmen. Somewhere in the distance, he could hear Gotrek's bellowed war cry. Right at this moment, it was difficult to tell how the fight was going. The mercenaries seemed to be holding their own against the Skaven, and the battle seemed to have attracted the attention of others. Humans were pouring out of the nearby tenements. Some clutched bedpans and pokers and other improvised weapons. Others carried swords and blunderbusses and other, rather more useful-looking instruments of destruction. It seemed that the citizens had decided that they would rather meet their end in battle with their foes than be burned to death in their homes. That was good, thought Felix, for the mercenaries needed all the help they could get, as more and more Skaven were being drawn through the blazing streets to the sound of battle. Even as he stood there, a severed head came flying out of the gloom, spinning, spilling blood from disconnected arteries, spraying all those below it with a shower of black raindrops. It arced straight toward Felix, and he batted it aside with his sword. Salty black fluid splattered his face, and he fought the urge to lick his lips to clean them. Looking down, he saw that the head belonged to a huge Skaven warrior. He wiped his face with his cloak quickly, worried that something might take advantage of his blindness and stab him. Shaking his head, he moved forward cautiously to where he could hear Gotrek shouting. Ahead of him, he could see an enormous ruck. The slayer stood poised atop what first Felix took to be an enormous mound of bodies, but swiftly realized was a plague cart. A wave of furious Skaven scrabbled to reach him, but were being hewn down by the awesome power of the slayer's axe. In the distance, looming over the great mass of lesser Skaven, Felix could see a huge wedge of creatures he had come to think of as rat ogres. Gotrek obviously saw them too, for he dived from the top of the plague cart into the seething sea of Skaven. Within moments, his flickering axe had left a wall of broken and dying bodies all around him, as he thrust his way towards the giant monsters that were his goal. Felix debated for only a moment whether to follow him, and then pushed forward, shouting, "Follow me, lads! Let's kill some bloody ratmen!" As he hacked to left and right, he hoped the mercenaries were listening and following. Otherwise, he and Gotrek were in for a hard time when they closed with the rat ogres. Thankwar glared into his scrying crystal. His head swam. His brain felt aflame. The power of the warp stone flowed through his veins like a drug. It made him feel dizzy and wonderful at the same time. At this moment, he felt sure he could perceive the underlying pattern of mystical forces focused on the crystal. He concentrated harder on making the thing work. At last, the darkness had cleared. At last, he could see the leering face of Chang Squick. It appeared that the Clan Eshin assassin had reached his objective. Good, Thankwell thought. About time. He could barely contain the enormous mass of warpstone-fueled mystical energy which boiled within him. He felt so saturated with power that it seemed that at any minute he might explode. His head swam and his vision blurred. Everything seemed to swim around him. Frantically, he tried to remember the syllables of the spell he had memorized so long ago in that great black book in the accursed library. For a long moment, the words eluded him, squirming and sliding just out of reach of his thought processes. Thankwell bit the insides of his cheek until he tasted blood. The pain seemed to sharpen his wits, for eventually the words came to him. He opened his lips, and the syllables of his ancient language seemed to vomit forth from his mouth, ejecting with them a roiling cloud of dark magical energy. Thankwell's heartbeat accelerated to levels he would not have believed were endurable. His heart thumped wildly in his chest, and his breathing was ragged and choked. He knew he was losing control of his spell, and fought to rein in the flow of power before it destroyed him. Brain-blasting visions danced through his mind, and he knew that his seer's gifts had been driven to incredible new heights by the unprecedented amounts of warpstone he had consumed. Briefly, his consciousness seemed to leave his body, and scenes flickered through his mind in swift succession. For a moment his spirit hovered over the city, and he had a panoramic view of all that was happening. Below him the streets blazed with fire and violence. A river of Skaven raced through the city, killing all that were in their path. Here and there they had encountered pockets of armed resistance, where human garrisons, or just the mobs of citizens, had taken to the streets in defence of their homes. He saw swift, savage scuffles and giant rats devouring the corpses of man and Skaven alike. He saw burning buildings and broken bodies. He saw the whole of the great ancient man-city of Nuln in flames. Thankwell's attention was drawn to one particular struggle, which suddenly leapt into focus when he recognised two alarmingly familiar figures. The dwarf and the human, followed by a disciplined pack of human warriors, were hacking through the Skaven warriors towards the hulking bodyguard of Isaac Grottle. In his trance state, Thankwell could see the roaring rat-ogres, and the appalled look on the face of his henchling Lurk as he contemplated the prospect of imminent violence. He saw the mad eyes of Vilebroth Nul glaring into space, as if he sensed the presence of some disembodied watcher. It looked very much to the Grey Seer like his plan was working, and the interfering twosome were about to destroy his bitterest rivals. Good, he thought. Let them. Thankwell would brook no others claiming an unfair portion of his glory. He saw Heskett One-Eye bark instructions to his Jezael-equipped bodyguards, and saw the long-barreled rifle swing to bear on the dwarf. Thankwell thought furiously. None of that. With an almost imperceptible flicker of his thoughts, he touched the sniper's mind. Its fingers curled on the trigger, but its warpstone bullet went wild, smashing into the skull of a rat-ogre, almost killing the brainless beast. The thing roared and went wild, surging forward into the Skaven troops from the rear, killing as it went. Thankwell felt dizzy, and realised that he was losing himself in his spell. His power was bleeding away, and if he intended to accomplish what he wanted, he had better do it soon. With a wrench, he sent his spirit soaring back towards the castle. He funnelled it into the link with the scrying stone, and looked out once more on Chang Squick. Suddenly, with a snap, he was back in his own body again, and the words of the spell were tumbling from his mouth. He concentrated with all his might, bringing to bear all the relentless discipline of his many years as a Grey Seer, and the spell swiftly returned to his control. In the air before him, the dark cloud shimmered and parted, revealing a rift in space running from the point just in front of where Thankwell stood to the ground around Chang Squick's scrying crystal.
Quick, forward!
He shouted to his storm-vermin guard. They walked forward into the black cloud, shimmered, and vanished, to reappear, Thankwell most earnestly hoped, in the very heart of the Breeder Emmanuel's palace. Ahead of them, Felix could see the rat ogres. They loomed head and shoulders above the crowd, monstrous creatures, man-shaped, but with the heads of immense rabid rats. Vast boils erupted through their mangy fur. The stigmata of a variety of foul mutations marred their flesh. Each had paws the size of shovels, which ended in claws like daggers. Huge tusk-like fangs, dripping with saliva, filled their mouths. Their bellows were audible even over the din of battle. At the sight of them, Felix felt the urge to halt and flee. He could tell the mercenaries following him felt the same way. The momentum of their charge was dissipating as they contemplated the horrific appearance of their foes. Only Gotrek showed no fear. He ploughed onward, unwilling or unable to be bothered by the fearsome nature of his foes. The rat ogres were no more troubled by the troll slayer's arrival than he was by theirs. With an ear-shattering roar, they charged rabidly to meet him. It seemed unlikely to Felix that anything could survive the mad rush of such huge creatures. It was like expecting someone to be able to withstand the charge of a herd of elephants. Nothing should have been able to withstand the onslaught of that huge mass of muscle and teeth and claws. For a moment, all heads turned, and even the Skavens stopped their relentless advance to watch. Completely undaunted by the fact his opponents were twice his size, Gotrek came on. His axe flashed, glowing red in the lurid blaze of the burning buildings, and one of the rat ogres tumbled backwards, its leg chopped off at the knee. As it fell, the slayer's axe slashed back again and severed its arm. Clutching at the bloody stump with its good paw, the creature rolled over on the ground, writhing and shrieking. Another of the immense creatures reached out and made a grab for the dwarf. Its razor-like talons bit into his ruddy flesh. Bloody droplets appeared on Gotrek's shoulder as the mighty beast raised him high above its head. It opened its huge jaws to the fullest extension, as if intending to drop the slayer in and devour him in one bite. Gotrek brought his axe crashing down. Powered by all the awesome strength of the slayer's mighty arm, it smashed the rat ogre's head in two. Blood, brains, and teeth exploded everywhere. The slayer went flying backwards through the air, propelled skyward by the reflex action of the rat ogre's death spasm. Seeing the remaining rat ogres begin their advance towards Gotrek's recumbent form, Felix mustered all his courage and shouted, "Charge! Charge! Let's send these foul vermin back to the hell that spawned them!" Not daring to look back over his shoulder to see if anyone was following him, he raced forward into the fray. Chang Squik watched in amazement as the air in front of him shimmered. For a moment it appeared like a small bright hole had been punched in the very fabric of the world. Through that hole leaked a vile black gas which smelled of warpstone and dark magic. Even as the assassin watched, the cloud expanded and shimmered until it stood higher than any Skaven. Then the cloud itself parted to reveal a gateway, joining the privy in which Chang Squik stood to the place where the Grey Seer was. Chang Squik heard a sudden noise behind him and span around to see an ornately garbed human enter the privy, fumbling with his codpiece as if he intended to make water. The human reeked of alcohol. He paused in amazement and looked at the skulking Skaven, then shook his head as if to clear it.
"I say," he said, "that's a ruddy good costume."
Then his eyes widened further as he noticed the ranks of storm vermin starting to pour through Thankwall's sorcerous gateway. He opened his mouth and had just time for one shriek of warning before Chang Squik's throwing knife buried itself in his heart. More and more Skaven warriors flowed into the chamber, bursting out from the privy and into the corridors of the palace. Felix ducked, threw himself flat, and rolled under a blow that would have taken his head off had it connected. Up close, the rat ogres were, if anything, even more frightening to behold. Their muscles were like the cables used to moor ships, and they looked as if they could smash through a stone wall with little effort. The creature's massive tail lashed through the air with a crack like a whip. Worse yet was the smell, an awful combination of animal reek, wet fur, and warpstone. It reminded Felix of old and very sour cheese, but was infinitely stronger and threatened to bring tears to his eyes. He rolled to one side as a fist the size of his head smashed into the ground where he had been. He kicked out at the rat ogre's leg, hoping to unbalance it, but he might as well have been kicking a tree trunk. Hot saliva dribbled from the thing's mouth and landed on his hand. Felix fought down the urge to flinch and kept moving, knowing that his life depended on it. Mad triumph appeared in the monster's small, beady eyes. It opened its jaws and bellowed so loudly that Felix thought he would go deaf. The creature reached for him, and from his prone position, Felix lashed out with his blade and caught it across the knuckles with the razor-sharp edge. The rat ogre's eyes went wide in surprise at the pain. Whimpering like a child, it pulled its hand back to its mouth to lick the wound. Taking advantage of its distraction, Felix half rose and stabbed upwards, driving the point of the sword right into the rat ogre's groin. The creature gave a shriek like the whistle of a steam tank and reached down to touch its severed nether parts. Felix drove the point of his blade into the thing's opened jaws, pushing it right through the roof of the mouth and into its tiny, malformed brain. The light went out of its eyes as it died instantly. Felix felt a momentary surge of triumph, which faded almost instantly as he realized that the rat ogre's corpse was going to topple on him. Felix sprang hastily to one side as the monstrous form crashed to the ground like a felled tree. Pausing to catch his breath a moment, he looked around. The last of the rat ogres was going down, the mercenaries swarming over it like rats over a terrier, but the victory had been won at awful cost. Many human corpses covered the ground for every rat ogre which had fallen. It looked like only he and Gotrek had bested one of the beasts in single combat. Still, briefly and temporarily, though it might turn out to be, it looked like the tide of battle had turned in their favour. The Skaven leaders, including the grossly fat monster which had ordered the rat ogres to attack, were fleeing backwards to regroup. More and more people were massing in the streets to fight off the invaders. In the distance, Felix could hear the sound of horns and drums as the small army which surrounded the noble quarter began to advance down into the city. He wished he had some idea of how the battle was going. In the raging maelstrom of conflict, it was difficult to say. They had won a victory here, but it was all too possible that the Skaven were triumphant in every other part of the city. Perhaps now would be a good time to make a run for it, he thought. Then he saw the troll slayer. Gotrek marched through the crowd towards him. A terrible grin revealed his missing teeth. Mad battle lust filled his one good eye.
"You brought a good fight with you, Madling," he said.
Felix nodded, and then remembered how this had all started. He fumbled into his tunic to retrieve the scrap of parchment, then slowly unrolled it to read its message. Graysir Thankwell watched the last of his troops pass through the gateway, and then stepped through himself. He felt a sense of relief as the mystic portal closed automatically behind him. Even for a Graysir of Thankwell's awesome powers, holding it open while hundreds of storm vermin poured through had been a terrible strain. Now he could relax and watch his plan unfold before him. His tail lashed in anticipation of his triumph. Victory was within reach. Soon he would hold the human rulers hostage and command them to order their troops to surrender on pain of most hideous death. If they refused, which Thankwell rather hoped they would, he would make an example of some of them until they did agree. He was looking forward to some sport. Then the twitching of his nostrils warned him that something odd was happening, and he squinted around the chamber to confirm his suspicions. Yes, it was true. Even Thankwell's warpstone-addled senses could tell that this room was the wrong size, and it did not smell like a great hallway. It smelled like a midden. Thankwell stuck his head through the door. He looked into a corridor, in which storm vermin milled in confusion. This was not the hallway they had been told to expect. He could see their claw leader studying his map with a look of puzzlement on his face. The awful truth dawned on Thankwell. That incompetent buffoon, Chang Squick, had placed his scrying crystal in the wrong place. Thankwell bared his fangs in a ferocious snarl. It was just as well for the Clan Eshin assassin that he was not in sight, thought Thankwell. The Graysir swore that when he found Squick, he would flay his flesh from his bones using the darkest magic that he could command. Warpstone-driven euphoria and drugged rage warred in Thankwell's mind as he stalked out into the corridor to search for his goal. Felix looked down at the parchment. It was hard to tell in the gloom, but the writing looked somehow different, smaller, neater, more precise. Not that it mattered right now, as Felix read in horror what it had to say. Humans, the traitor Graysir Thankwell would invade the palace this night and capture the breeder Immanuel and all your pack leaders. You must stop him or your city will fall. Also, this Thankwell is a very powerful sorcerer and will use his evil magic to stop you. He must die, or no human in your city will be safe. Felix looked down at Gotrick, then passed him the note. Well, he said.
Well, what, Manling?
Do we go to the palace and rescue our noble rulers from this Skaven menace?
They're your rulers, Manling, not mine.
I think this Grey Seer is the thing we encountered in von Hallstatt's house. The rat man which got away. I think it might be behind this whole invasion.
Then killing it would be a great deed, and dying in the attempt would be a mighty doom,
Gotrick rumbled. Only one problem, then. We're going to have to fight our way through the city to get there.
Where's the problem in that?
Well, who knows how many ratmen stand in our way? Felix racked his brain for a way out of this dilemma. It would take an army to fight its way across the city. In a flash of inspiration worthy of a Detlef Sirk hero, the answer came to him. Lurk Snitchtongue cowered in the shadow of Isaac Grottle. The huge Clan Molder Packmaster looked at him hungrily. He still seemed to be in a state of shock from watching the defeat of his prized rat ogres.
I thought you said the human and the dwarf had received the message and were on their way to intercede with Grey Seer Thankwell.
The message was delivered, Master of Molders. I cannot be held responsible for what happens next. Maybe they were caught up in the fighting.
Maybe. All of this has left us exposed, though. Very exposed. We must find another Skaven force quickly, or return to the safety of the sewers.
Yes, most perceptive of planners.
Have you seen Heskett One-Eye, or Vilebroth Nul?
Not since we were attacked, greatest of gorgers.
A pity. Well, let us be on our way.
At once.
Filled with warpstone-fueled rage, Thankwell stalked the corridors of the palace. The damnable place was huge, and it was as much a maze as anything he made his pet humans run through. His carefully contrived plan had fallen apart because of the incompetence of Chang's Squick. It had relied on speed, surprise, and the fury of the Skaven assault to overwhelm the defence. Now his storm vermin were reduced to racing through the corridors and fighting skirmishes with groups of sentries. It was only a matter of time before the humans realised what was going on, concentrated their forces and began to fight back. Thankwell still expected a victory under those circumstances. His warriors were many and bold, but there was always the possibility that something might happen to tip the odds against them. Thankwell would have much preferred a sudden, overwhelming victory, not this period of anger and doubt. Heskett One-Eye chittered in excitement. Once again he watched the warp fire throwers sweep through the buildings. These huge human structures burned well, their wooden supports caught fire easily, and the soft stone and brick from which they were made melted in the fierce heat of the warp flames. Heskett had thought it politic to separate from the others when his Jezael team had accidentally shot one of Isaac Grottle's rat ogres. It was an accident, Heskett knew, but the Skaven of Clan Molder were insanely suspicious. Heskett had no desire to have Isaac Grottle accidentally stab him in the back, so he had led his troops away from the main battle to continue spreading destruction. And how glad he was that he had done so. There was something truly enthralling about watching the machineries of destruction at work, of feeling the heat and flames his warriors had caused warm his face, and watching these giant structures tumble down. Heskett stared upwards for a long time, watching the tenement collapse. It was only at the very last moment that he realised that tons of brick and blazing wood were crashing down right on top of him, and by then it was far too late for him to escape. Felix leapt onto the back of the plague cart. Bodies squelched under his feet. The stink was appalling. He really would have preferred to stand somewhere else, but this was the only way he could get the attention of the crowd.
"Citizens of Nuln!"
he bellowed in the orator's voice he had not used since the window tax riots.
"Listen to me!"
A few heads turned in his direction. Most of the others were too busy hacking at Skaven corpses or shouting gleefully at their neighbours.
"Citizens of Nuln! Skaven slayers!"
he shouted. A few more people looked at him. They began to tug their neighbours' arms and point in his direction. Slowly but surely, Felix felt the attention of the crowd turn on him. Slowly but surely, the crowd fell silent. These people had seen him and Gotrek slay rat ogres. They had also seen them lead the charge into battle. These people were leaderless and in need of direction. Felix thought he could provide them with both.
Citizens of Nuln! The Skaven have attacked your great city. They have burned your homes. They have killed your loved ones. They have brought madness and plague to your streets.
Felix saw that he had them now. All eyes in the crowd were riveted to him. He could sense the crowd's anger and hatred and fear, and he could sense that he had given it a focus. He felt a sudden thrill at the power he held. He wet his lips and continued to speak, knowing that he must sway them to the course he wanted now, or he would lose them.
You have killed many Skaven. You have seen their monsters fall. You have seen their vile weapons fall. Victory is within your grasp. Are you ready to kill more Skaven?
Yes,
cried a few of the crowd. Many still looked uncertain. For the most part, they were not warriors, just ordinary people suddenly thrown into a situation they did not truly understand.
Are you ready to drive the Skaven from your city? For if you do not, they will return and carry you away as slaves.
Felix had no idea whether this was true or not, but it was what they had done in the past, and it sounded good. More to the point, it sounded frightening. More voices shouted,
Yes! Are you ready to slaughter these monsters without mercy? For rest assured, if you do not, they will slaughter you.
Yes!
Roared the whole crowd in a frenzy of rage and fear.
Then follow me to the palace, where the chief of all this foul breed even now threatens the life of your rightful ruler.
Felix leapt down from the cart and landed on the cobbled street. Hans stretched out from the crowd to pat him on the back. More still shouted their support. He saw Heinz and the surviving mercenaries give him the thumbs up. He looked down at Gotrek. Even the dwarf looked pleased.
Let's go,
Felix said, and they broke into a run. As one, the crowd followed them through the burning streets of the city. Chang Squick drew his long black cloak in front of his face and stalked forward, blade in hand. He kept to the shadows, moving quietly on the balls of his feet, ready to strike in any direction at the slightest provocation. In the dim distance, he could still hear the sound of fighting. From up ahead, he could hear the strange scraping noise that humans called music. He emerged onto a balcony and blinked his eyes, momentarily dazzled. He stood looking down upon a huge chamber. The vaulted ceiling above him was painted with an enormous picture of the human gods looking down benevolently. Enormous chandeliers, each holding hundreds of candles, provided dazzling illumination. Down below, an orchestra played, and many gowned breeders and a few costumed males stood at ease, drinking and eating happily. The smell of food made Squick's nostrils twitch and drew his attention to the tables below. They groaned beneath the weight of roasted fowl and pig. Platters of cheese and bread and all manner of savouries were there. So much for starving the city, thought the Eshin assassin. Then he realised that maybe the ordinary people were starving, but the rulers had preserved all these dainties for themselves. In this, then, the humans were not too different from Skaven, he decided. Then started at the sound of footsteps on the balcony behind him. Two figures, a male and a breeder, had emerged onto the balcony behind him. Their clothing was in a state of disarray, and it looked odd even for humans. The man was garbed as a shepherd in some sort of tunic. He carried panpipes, and a golden mask shaped to have small horns like a goat's covered his face. The woman, too, was masked, but she was dressed in some sort of dancer's costume, with diamond-patterned tights, a tricorned hat, and a domino mask. They stared at him, and to his surprise, emitted the strange wheezing sound that humans called laughter. They stank of alcohol. Chang Squick was so surprised that he paused in the middle of his death stroke. He had intended to strike them down and withdraw into the shadowy corridors.
I say, what a super costume,
the man said.
Absolutely wonderful,
the woman agreed. She bent over and tugged at Squick's tail.
So realistic.
Squick had no idea what they were saying. He understood no words of their odd rumbling language, but it was starting to filter into his brain that these people were wearing some sort of costume, like high-ranking Skaven performing a religious rite, and they appeared to have mistaken him for one of them. Was it possible that these people were so drunk and so uncaring that they did not realise that there was a Skaven invasion going on outside? To his astonishment, Chang Squick realised that it must be so. Worse, He could see that all eyes down below were on them. He considered pushing the pair off the balcony and ducking back into the shadows, but that meant going back into corridors filled with fighting storm vermin and an angry Thankwall. Another plan struck him. Nodding politely to the two revellers, he put away his blade, walked down the stairs and into the crowds of masked and disguised humans. He helped himself to a savoury from a tray carried by a passing waiter, picked up a goblet of wine, and strolled through the hall, nodding left and right to those he passed. Perhaps if he could find the breeder, Emmanuel, he might yet redeem himself in the eyes of Grey Seer Thankwall. Vilebroth Nul looked up in astonishment at the onrushing horde of humans. Where had they all come from? How had they mustered such a huge force so suddenly? Had Grey Seer Thankwall underestimated their numbers? Certainly that was possible, and if so, just another example of the Grey Seer's incompetence. Not that it would make any difference if he did not get out of their way. He had spent the night since the invasion force had erupted from the sewer, wandering lost through the twisting maze of alleys and lanes, killing any humans he encountered, and trying to locate Isaac Grottle and the others. He cursed the initial blind rush which had separated them all. Now he was left to face this horde of humans without any sort of bodyguard. He looked up and realized that he recognized the leaders of the charge, and what was worse, they recognized him. It was the human and the dwarf who had interrupted his ritual and destroyed the cauldron of 1,000 poxes. For a moment, a vast righteous anger swept through Vilebroth Nul. Almost without thinking, he summoned his powers, and an eerie green light swept into being around his head and paws. He mumbled the chant that would summon destructive spirits of disease to smite his foes. The humans did not even slow their headlong rush. Vilebroth Nul realized that they could not. The ones at the back were pushing the ones at the front of the herd forward. If the leaders slowed, they would be trampled. He kept chanting, desperate now to summon the powers which would protect him, knowing that most likely it was already too late. The humans were upon him. The last thing Vilebroth Nul saw was a huge axe descending towards his skull. Felix shuddered. He had recognized the green-robed rat man in the last seconds before the crowd had trampled it. It was the plague priest from the cemetery, and Felix was glad that it was dead. He was warm now, sweating from exertion and the heat of the blazing buildings which surrounded them. He tried to ignore the screams of those trapped within and focus on taking vengeance on those responsible. Somewhere off in the distance, he heard a crashing sound. A pillar of sparks rose skyward as a tenement collapsed. Felix knew that if anyone survived this, they would have their work cut out for them rebuilding the city. This was as bad as the Great Fire of Altdorf. They hit the slopes around the palace, and Felix noticed that many of the buildings here were intact. They were like his brother's house, small fortresses as well as mansions. Ahead of them was a force clad in the black tabards of the Nuln City Guard. They had their halberds raised to repel a charge, but lowered them, confused, when they saw that the mob were human rather than ratmen.
"Skaven!" he shouted. "There are Skaven in the palace!"
He did not know whether the captain of the guard believed him or not, but he did not have much choice. If his men stood there much longer, they would either have to use their weapons on their fellow citizens or be trampled underfoot. The captain made a snap decision. He barked an order, and his men stood aside. Felix could see that the great gate of the palace was still open. It must have been left that way to allow the coaches of the guests to enter, Felix decided. He rushed onwards, praying that they were in time to save Countess Emmanuel. Drexler turned to look in the direction of the scream. Suddenly the balcony seethed with huge, black-armoured Skaven. Those were not costumes, he could tell immediately. These were the real thing, monstrous, man-sized, anthropomorphic rats, armed with huge scimitars and bearing round shields, inscribed with the sigil of their evil god. He saw a few of the guards, elite troops, move to interpose themselves between the guests and the Skaven. They were cut down swiftly by the disciplined phalanx as it poured down the stairs and into the room. Slowly, the orchestra stopped playing. The notes faded out into discordant echoes. Screaming guests in fancy costumes were herded towards the great throne dais by massive snarling ratmen. Drexler wondered if he should risk a spell, but decided against it. There were too many Skaven for him to affect them all. Where were the guards, he wondered? Where were all the men who had gone to the battlements to look at the fire? Then he sensed the presence of terrible magical energy. Looking up, he saw a huge, horned, grey-furred ratman descending the stairs. It looked like an evil god come to bring doom to all mankind. Thankwell strode forward across the corpses of the dead humans. At last, from up ahead, he could hear a gratifying number of screams. It seemed that his storm vermin had discovered the great hall at last, and that the human leaders were finally within his grasp. Filled with a tremendous sense of his inevitable righteous triumph, the Grey Seer advanced to victory. Felix led the charge into the courtyard. Looking up, he saw a struggle taking place on the battlements.
"Quick!"
he shouted to Hines.
"Scour the battlements! Kill any Skaven you find!"
"Righto, young Felix,"
Hines said, rushing towards the steps with the mercenaries in tow.
"Follow me, lads!"
Felix glanced around at the mob pouring into the courtyard. They looked ferocious, ready to kill anything they saw. A number of them began to race after Hines.
"Where to now, Manling?"
Gotrek asked.
"I want to get to grips with that ratman wizard. My axe thirsts for more blood."
"Good question," thought Felix, wishing he had an answer. "Think," he urged himself. "Where is the logical place to go?" The Grey Seer wanted to capture Emmanuel. Tonight, he knew from Drexler, a great ball was taking place. The logical place for the Countess to be was the ballroom that Ostwald and he had passed through the first time he had visited the palace. Now, if only he could remember the way there.
"Follow me!"
he shouted, trying to make his voice as confident as possible. Thankwell paused at the head of the stairs to survey the great ballroom. He wanted to give the pitiful humans the chance to appreciate the full, awful majesty of their conquerors. He wanted to savour his moment of ultimate triumph. All eyes turned to look at him. He could tell the humans were impressed by his dignity and his presence. They always were. The majestic form of a Grey Seer always inspired respect and admiration in equal parts from all who saw him. He glanced at the crowd and looked around to see if he could find his chosen prey. In truth, he'd expected to be able to tell her by the elaborate nature of her costume and by the fact that she wore a crown, but he could see that all the humans present were garbed in strange disguises, almost as if they had intended to thwart him. Well, well, he thought, they would see that a Grey Seer was not so easily balked. He singled out one of the human males, a man garbed like some primitive tribesman.
"You, Manling, where is your chief breeder? Answer me, quick, quick!"
Thankwell asked in his best Reichspiel.
"I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about, old man,"
came the reply. Sweat dribbled down the man's face. Thankwell blasted him with a surge of pure magical power. Women's screams filled the air as the stripped and blackened skeleton of his victim fell to the floor. Thankwell selected another victim, a woman dressed like one of the human's goddesses.
"You! Tell me, where is the chief breeder? Answer, now, now!"
The woman looked at him blankly.
"What is a breeder?"
she asked. Thankor's answer was to blast her with magic as well. Another charred corpse tumbled to the floor. Thankwell selected a man very cunningly disguised as a Clan Eshin assassin.
"You, the chief breeder, where?"
Thankwell bellowed. The disguised assassin turned, its tail twitching remarkably like a real Skaven.
"No, master, don't blast me!"
it cried in fluent Skaven. Remarkable, thought Thankwell, a human who speaks our language. Then he realised that this was no human. It was that damnable Chang Squick hiding himself among the humans. Thankwell looked at the assassin and licked his lips, thinking of how the assassin's folly had almost cost Thankwell his triumph, remembering all the other failures Chang Squick had been responsible for. This was perfect, thought Thankwell. If anybody ever asked, he could claim that it was all a terrible error. He summoned all of his powers. Chang Squick screamed most satisfactorily as dark magic consumed his body. Thankwell gloated for a brief but joyous moment, then picked out another human.
"You! Where is the chief breeder? Answer, quick, quick, or your miserable life is forfeit!"
But I don't know what a breeder is,"
whimpered the fat man, garbed as a huge pink rabbit. Thankwell shrugged and blasted him. Yet more bones clattered onto the marble floor. It began to occur to Thankwell, even through the haze of warpstone clouding his mind, that there was something wrong with his strategy. The humans did not quite seem to understand what he was getting at. What could it be? Where were their feeble minds going astray? He had asked for their chief breeder, after all. Perhaps if he asked for her by name? He signalled out a cringing breeder and pointed one talon at her.
You! You! Are you the chief breeder, Emmanuel?
The breeder was obviously too overwhelmed by the sheer majesty of Thankwall's presence to speak. He blasted her as a lesson to the others that they should reply when he asked a question. He selected another male next, hoping that it would be slightly less witless than the breeder.
You! Where is the chief breeder, Emmanuel?
The male shook its head defiantly.
I will never tell you. I have sworn to serve the Elector Countess with...
Thankwell yawned and unleashed another blast of dark magic before the human could finish its speech. He so hated it when they became contrary. His specimens back home in Skavenblight could be the same way sometimes, particularly after he took their breeders and runts away to experiment on. An amazing race in some ways, certainly, he thought. But so stupid. Out of the corner of his eye, Thankwell caught sight of two human breeders muttering to each other. Slowly he swung his burning gaze towards them. As one of the breeders straightened, and one of them strode towards him. She pulled off her mask to reveal a pale but determined face.
I believe you are looking for me,
she said defiantly.
I am Elector Countess Emmanuel.
Thankwell was almost disappointed. The warpstone power still surged within him, and he had been enjoying using it. There was nothing quite like the thrill of blasting lesser beings to bits, unless it was the sense of power doing just that gave one.
Good,
Thankwell said.
You will order your troops to surrender immediately, and I will let you live. Fail to do so,
Drexler shuddered as he watched the monstrous horned Skaven stride through the crowd. Just the sight of it filled him with fear. It wasn't the red glowing eyes or the way its fur bristled that scared him. It was the power it so obviously carried within it. Drexler's mystically attuned senses could see that the thing fairly bristled with dark magical energy. He was enough of a sorcerer himself to see that there was something deeply unnatural about it. No living creature should be able to wield or contain such power without suffering the consequences. At the very least, it should go mad. At most, it might explode, blown apart by the vast energy roiling within its body. Where could it have acquired such power, Drexler wondered. The only possible source of so much energy was said to be pure warpstone. Could the creature possibly be consuming the stuff? Such a supposition beggared belief. Perhaps the creature had not escaped its use unscathed. Its slurred speech and stumbling, jerky movements certainly hinted that something was wrong with it. The way its whiskers quivered and its head twitched made it look as if it were in the terminal stage of some fatal addiction. Yes, the creature was mad. No doubt about it. The way it had so casually blasted apart anyone who did not answer its questions to its satisfaction stated that fact clearly. The question now was what was he, Drexler, going to do about it? He was appalled by his own cowardice. Each time the creature had gathered its dark powers, he had sensed it. He could have at least tried to work a counterspell, but he had not. He had been too overcome by the horror of the thing's appearance and the thought of what might happen to him if he had intervened. He felt sure that he would lose any mystical duel with this rat man, and that attracting its attention would be fatal. Even if he could somehow hold the Skaven mage in check, its black-armored lackeys filled the room. At a word from it, they would surely cut him down with those cruel swords. So he had done nothing, and half a dozen people had died. He was proud of what Baron Blücher had done, the way the man had defied the Skaven before he died. Why could he not summon such courage? The healer in him was appalled that he had done nothing to prevent such loss of life. Now the Countess herself stood in peril, willing to give her own life to spare her subjects. Drexler vowed that this time he would intervene if the Skaven attacked. There would be no more magical killings if he could help it.
I will do no such thing,
Countess Emmanuel said shakily.
I would rather die then order my troops to surrender to you, foul vermin.
Foolish breeder! That is just what you will do if you defy me,
Thankwell said. He raised his paw, and dark magical energy played around it menacingly. The breeder flinched slightly, but did not move or open her mouth. Thankwell wondered if there was some way around this impasse. Perhaps if he ordered some of the humans tortured before her eyes, she would weaken. Thankwell's experiments had led him to believe such a course would often work.
Yes,
That was it. Then from somewhere around him in the ballroom, he sensed the slow build-up of magical energies. They were not Skaven magical energies either. He heard footsteps rushing closer too, even as he turned his head to seek their source.
"Well, well, what have we here?"
a harsh grating voice said, like two great boulders rubbing together, cutting like a knife to the very core of Thankwell's being.
"It looks like we're just in time to kill some rats."
Thankwell quelled the urge to squirt the musk of fear. He recognized that harsh, flinty growl. The grey seer jerked his head to one side, just to confirm his worst fears, and he saw that they were true. Standing in the entrance to the chamber were the dwarf, Gurnison, and the human Jaeger, and behind them was a teeming mass of human troops. Thankwell howled in frustration and rage. He reached deep into his corrupt soul and hurled all his lethal power at his enemies in one mighty blast. Felix prepared himself to spring to one side as he saw the midnight black thunderbolt gather around the grey seer's paw. The nimbus of evil mystical power around the ratman's head was so bright that it was almost impossible to look at. Gotrek held his ground unflinchingly, seemingly totally unafraid, as the enormous blast of destructive power was suddenly unleashed directly at him. There was a mighty flash and a crackling, booming noise as of thunder unleashed directly overhead. The air was filled with the burnt metal reek of ozone. Felix was vaguely aware that two bolts of energy had leapt from the grey seer's paws. One was aimed at him, one was aimed at Gotrek. He closed his eyes, fully expecting to die. Instead of the anticipated blast of incredible pain, he felt nothing except a mild tingling on his flesh and his hair starting to stand on end. He opened his eyes and saw that both he and the troll slayer were enveloped in a golden field of energy. Long golden lines raced from the aura that surrounded them back to the hands of Dr. Drexler. Felix could see the look of strain on the doctor's face. Grateful as he was to the physician for saving them, he knew that the doctor could not long stand against the storm of magical power which surrounded them.
"Is that the best you can do?"
Gotrek bellowed.
"Ratman, your life is over!"
The slayer charged through the corona of coruscating energy. Felix charged right beside him.
"No, no!"
Gracia Thankwell thought in panic as he saw his two enemies racing towards him. This was not happening. How could this be? How could this abominable pair appear to thwart him in his hour of triumph? What evil deity protected them and kept them alive to interfere in his plans time after time? He bared his lips in a snarl and continued to unleash his destructive energies against the swirling golden shield which stood between the pair and destruction. He could feel it start to give way under the relentless pressure of his magical energies. Unfortunately, it was not giving way quickly enough. At the rate the human and the dwarf were closing the distance between them, they would reach Thankwell before he could shred their flesh from their bones. He snarled a curse and reined in his spell, knowing that something other than magic was needed now.
"Quick, quick!"
he ordered his storm vermin.
"Kill them! Now! Now!"
With visible reluctance, the storm vermin moved to the attack. They had heard of this pair. Tales of the destruction they had wreaked among Skaven were legend among the army assaulting Nulm. Their very presence was demoralizing to Thankwell's troops. The way the dwarf decapitated the experienced claw leader as if he were a mere puppy did nothing to reassure the Skaven. Nor did the vast howling tide of angry humans flowing into the ballroom. Thankwell sensed that the morale of his force was mere moments from breaking. Swiftly he weighed the odds of victory and saw that his moment had passed and that triumph had slipped through his talons. Now it was a case of measuring his chances of survival. If he left now, while his troops still slowed down the pursuit, Thankwell realized he might reach the privy. Once there, he could use the scrying stone to create a gate back to the sewers. Of course, now with his power at a low ebb, he would not have the strength to hold it open for all his warriors. In fact, he doubted that more than one solitary Skaven would escape through it. Still, he knew the genius of Thankwell must be preserved. On another day, he would return and take his revenge.
"Forward, my brave storm vermin, to inevitable victory!"
Thankwell shouted, before he turned tail and ran with all his might. He did not need his grey seer's intuition to tell him that the slaughter behind him was going to be one-sided and merciless. Epilogue. So it was that the Skaven were driven forth from the city, although at great terrible cost in lives and damage to property. I had thought to rest and catch my breath after our exertions, but it was not to be. The hand of doom reached out for my companion, and so began a journey that was to end at the furthest and most gods-forsaken reaches of the world. From My Travels with Gotrek, Volume 3, by Herr Felix Jaeger, Altdorf Press, 2505. Felix sat in his favourite chair in the Blind Pig and finished inscribing the notes in his journal. He would leave this book in storage with Otto until such a time as he returned to claim it. If ever he did get round to writing the tale of the Troll Slayer's heroic doom, it might prove invaluable. From outside he could hear the sound of hammers. The builders had been at work for weeks now, trying to restore the battle-scarred city to its former glory. Felix knew that it would be many years before Nuln recovered fully, if it ever did. Still, he was not hugely troubled. Things had ended well, more or less. The Countess had been grateful, but there was not much she could do to reward two criminals wanted by the authorities in Altdorf without antagonizing the Emperor himself. There had been many protestations of gratitude and sweet smiles of thanks, but nothing more. Felix did not care. He was just glad to have avoided being thrown into prison, just as he was glad to have survived the night of conflict which had followed the storming of the palace. He still shivered to think of the savage battles which had been fought in the streets between man and Skaven. It had taken all night and most of the rest of the following day to clear the city, and even after it was done, most people had remained awake the following night, not quite able to believe they were safe. It had taken many more days of hunting afterwards to winkle the Skaven out of all their hiding places, and he was still not sure that the sewers were entirely free of them. On the other hand, the plague had abated. Perhaps the great fire had cleansed the city, or maybe it had simply claimed all the lives it was capable of taking. Drexler claimed that this was often the way with plagues. It had vanished now. No more deaths were reported. No more people had been stricken. And for a wonder, the great plague of rats had ended too. For days, more and more of them had appeared, but they seemed weaker and bore the stigma of mutations, as if something had gone wrong with them before even they were born. Many of the later generations had been stillborn. It was as if they had been created with some deliberate flaw by the Skaven. Perhaps they had been intended to scourge the city and then die out, leaving the Skaven free to claim everything. It was an idea of such devilish cunning that it made Felix shiver. Were the Ratmen really capable of such a thing? Or had it all been merely an accident? Somewhere in the distance, temple bells rang. Of course, the priests were claiming that their particular gods had intervened to save Nuln. Such was their way. Felix had seen precious little evidence that the Immortal Ones had acted to preserve Nuln at all. But who was he to say? Perhaps they had been there, invisibly shielding the folk, as Drexler claimed. Certainly Felix thought that Gotrek and himself had been very lucky, and perhaps that was the favour of the gods. The gods had spared others. Otto and his wife were safe, prospering even. As his brother had predicted, there was a great demand for all manner of stuff for use in the reconstruction, and Jaegers of Altdorf were helping provide it. Drexler had recovered almost fully from his sorcerous battle with the Grey Seer. Felix had been to see him several times since the fateful night, and the man looked as calm and cheerful as ever. One time he had even encountered Ostwald at the doctor's townhouse. The spymaster had treated Felix with a deference close to hero worship, which Felix had found embarrassing. Heinz and most of the mercenaries were well. The old innkeeper had taken a nasty knock on the head, and his head was swathed in so many bandages that he looked like an Arabian, but he was still there, behind the bar, pulling pints. Felix had no idea where Elissa was. He had not seen her or Hans since the day before the battle, and no one he knew had any knowledge of her whereabouts. He sincerely hoped she was well and had escaped back to her home village. He still missed her. They never found the Skaven Grey Seer, despite searching the palace from top to bottom. All that the court magicians had found were some strange magical resonances in the privy. It was assumed that Thankwell had used magic to effect his escape. For the most part, the citizens were happy.
They had survived and were rebuilding. In any case, life went on as usual, and Felix was looking forward to a nice long rest. Having avoided meeting his heroic doom yet again, Gotrek had stomped around like a bear with a sore head in the days after the fighting finished, before consoling himself with a three-day-long binge of boozing and brawling. Now he sat in the corner of the blind pig, nursing his hangover and bellowing for ale. The saloon doors swung open, and another dwarf came in. He was shorter than Gotrek and lighter in build. A circlet of bright red cloth was wrapped round his head, and his beard was clipped short. The tunic he wore was divided into red and yellow squares of ungodly brightness. The newcomer looked around, and his eyes widened when he saw Gotrek. He strode across to the slayer with a purposeful step. Felix closed his journal, put down his pen, and watched with interest.
"You are Gotrek, son of Gurney, a slayer," the newcomer said, speaking in Reichspiel, as dwarfs often did when humans were listening.
Felix knew they liked no one to hear their secret tongue.
"What did I am?"
Gotrek said in his most brutish and surly fashion.
"Would have made something of it."
"I am Nor Norrison, a bonded messenger to the clans. I have a message for you, of great importance. I've come 1,000 leagues to deliver it."
"Well, get on with it, then. I don't have all day,"
Gotrek grumbled impatiently.
"It is not a verbal message. It is written in rune script. You can read, can't you?"
"About as well as I can punch out the teeth of messengers who cheat me."
The messenger produced a parchment envelope with a great flourish. Gotrek took it and tore it open. He started to read, and as he did so, all the colour left his face. His beard bristled and his eyes went wide. "What is it?" Felix asked.
"A mighty doom, Manling. A mighty doom, indeed."
He rose from his chair and reached for his axe.
"Get your gear. We're leaving."
"For where?"
"The ends of the earth, most likely,"
Gotrek said, and could be prevailed upon to say nothing more. That was Skaven Slayer by William King, read by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2020.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.